Very good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you again. Lovely day. So this is one of the talks in the series that I'm doing in which I argue for the existence of God and the superiority of the Christian worldview over the atheistic worldview. I've given talks from this platform before in which I've spoken a little bit about this question, but this morning I'm going to address it more fully. Can we be good without God? If God does not exist, is it possible for human beings to be good? Is it possible for a person who doesn't believe in God to be a good, a moral, an upright individual? That's a question that gets asked a lot these days, and people give lots of different answers. Some people might say, no, if there is no God, or if a person does not believe in God, then no, they cannot be good. Or people might say, of course they can. You don't need God to be a good person. There are plenty of people in the world who don't believe in God who are good people. There are plenty of societies in the world which are mostly secular, where people are perfectly capable of being good. So let's delve into it a bit this morning and see what we find out. Okay, first question for you. Anybody know who that is? Unfortunately, my hair isn't that colour anymore. That is a Russian novelist from the 19th century called Dostoevsky, who you may have heard of, but you may never have seen a picture of before. And he wrote a book entitled The Brothers Karamazov, in which one of the characters argued, if there is no God, all things are permitted. So if there is no God, then there are no moral laws. There are no standards by which we ought to live our life, because there is no moral lawgiver to provide us with them. There is nothing that we ought to do. There are many things that we can do, but there is no ultimate standard to tell us what we ought to do. And so his conclusion, or the conclusion of this character in the novel, which I think was also Dostoevsky's own opinion as well, we can do whatever we like because there's nothing to tell us what we should or shouldn't do. This guy is a bit more recent. Anybody know who that is? Not a self-portrait. I'm not that handsome. That is William Lane Craig. He is still alive. He's an American evangelist, speaker, philosopher. He's done a lot of good work arguing for the existence of God. I've shamelessly stolen quite a lot of his arguments in my own series. And his take on what he calls the moral argument is, this is a standard logical argument where you have premise one, premise two, and if they're both true, then number three, the conclusion logically follows. He argues that if God does not exist, then objective moral values and duties do not exist, which is essentially what Dostoevsky said. He then says, objective moral values and duties do exist, so there is this standard by which we ought to live. Therefore, God exists. So if there is an objective set of moral standards by which we ought to live, and if that can only exist, if God exists, therefore God exists. So that's his argument. But let's go into it a little deeper, because it may not be entirely clear. What are objective moral values? Objective moral values are a set of standards by which we ought to live, that is grounded in a transcendent source of authority. What does that mean? It means it doesn't come from human minds. It comes from something that is beyond, above human minds. Something that is true for all people, no matter where they live, no matter when they live, no matter what culture they were brought up in. These are still true. They don't change from one society to another. They're still true even if no human being agrees with them. They're still true even if no human beings exist. So objective moral values are something that comes from a source of authority other than human opinion, or human wisdom, or human experience. And that's what William Lane Craig is arguing for. He says, if there is a set of standards that is true for all human beings, for all time, then the only place it can have come from is a higher source of authority. And the only higher source of authority that we could have would be some sort of supernatural, superintelligent creature. Because we know there are no natural forms of life on this planet that are capable of giving us those instructions, because we are the most advanced, the most intelligent natural form of life that we know of. The only place we could look to for something above our own minds, our own opinions, would be a supernatural teacher, God. So if it is true that this set of standards for how we ought to live exists, and if it is true that it applies to everybody across all cultures, across all time, and if it is true that these things are still valid whether or not we believe in them, they can only have come from God. And if these things exist, and if we live by them, then God exists. Now, how do skeptics, how do atheists respond to this argument? Well, typically they'll argue that, yes, we do have a set of moral values by which we ought to live, but they are not objective. They are subjective. Subjective means they do come from human minds. Skeptics, atheists will argue that human beings are capable of deciding upon our own set of moral values from our own minds, from our own opinions, from our own experience, from our own wisdom, and from things that we have learned from the past. They don't come from any higher authority. We don't need a higher authority, they would argue, to have our set of values. Now, the fact that these come from human minds and human opinion and human experience means they may be different from one culture, from one society to the next. So the set of moral values that we have in Britain in the 21st century might be very different from the values that prevailed in Britain in the 19th century, or from various other countries across the world, from the values that exist maybe in Iran today, or maybe in North Korea. These moral values will only be true as long as there are human beings who exist who hold on to them. So these things do not exist outside of human minds. And ultimately, they're nothing more than opinion. They're nothing more than personal preference. There is no authority on which you can hang subjective moral values other than ultimately your own opinion, or maybe the opinion of the group of people that you belong to. Where do they come from? If they don't come from some higher authority, if they just come from human minds, how do they originate, and why should we trust them? Well, the three typical answers that will be given are evolution, sociology, and empathy. So people will argue that as human beings evolved from lower primate species and developed a sense of morality, a sense of right and wrong, we learned that certain activities produce certain responses. Some of these activities are more conducive to our survival because they will help our offspring survive, and therefore the people who practice certain activities, certain responses, are more likely to have surviving offspring, and so the values that they gave to their offspring are more likely to survive and persist within the human race. So, for instance, people who love their children, who look after their children, who feed their children, are more likely to have children that survive, and therefore those values of care and love and sacrifice are more likely to pass on to the next generation. People who don't care about their children, who maybe sacrifice them to some idol, are less likely to have their values pass on to the next generation, so those values are less likely to persist within the human species. So there are two ways in which it's argued this could work. There's kin altruism and there's reciprocal altruism. So kin altruism is that typically we will look after members of our own family, our children, our brothers and sisters, our parents. People who do that are more likely to have their family survive, they're more likely to have the genetic material that they carry persist to the next generation, so the people who have those values are more likely to have surviving children, so over time the species that became the human race will have these values, that we should care for our family, that we should love our children, that we should love our siblings and our parents and so on, and the people who didn't have those values would have died out. reciprocal altruism argues that people who do good things for others are more likely to have those people do something good for them in return. That's where the reciprocal bit comes in. So if you practice altruism towards complete strangers, then it's more likely that they will help you out in the future, and it's more likely that you will survive when difficult times come, and it's more likely that you will have surviving children. So the argument is that creatures which practice kin altruism, looking after their family, creatures which practice reciprocal altruism, looking after strangers, are more likely to survive. And the people who don't are less likely to survive. And so the argument is that we've simply evolved a set of instincts that tell us what is right and what is wrong. That's the theory. Sociology, people will argue that we know from experience and from history that there are certain activities that will benefit human society, and there are certain activities that will not. So if you are a hedonist who lives for self-pleasure and you don't care about anybody else, that is not conducive to a functioning society in which you live. But if you are the person who's willing to look out for others, to sacrifice yourself, then the society you live in is more likely to be a healthy, functioning one. And societies that are healthy and functioning are more likely to survive than societies that are not. Empathy, the argument goes that we can empathize with each other. We know that if I do a certain thing to you, it'll make you feel a certain way, and I wouldn't like it if someone did that to me, so I won't do it to you. So those are the three main ways in which skeptics will argue this is where our sense of morality comes from. It doesn't have to come from God, it comes from something that we have almost by instinct because it evolved, something that just works because our societies work, or something that we can tell on an emotional level how our actions will affect other people, and we will treat them in a way that we would want them to treat us. So skeptics, atheists will argue we don't need a higher authority to tell us what's right and wrong, because we already have that. We have it because we've evolved it, we have it from experience and reason, and we just know on a human level the way we ought to live. That is all we need, or so they will argue. But none of those things make certain actions moral or immoral, because evolution is not about doing what's right and wrong. Evolution is about survival. So if certain actions help your offspring survive and certain actions don't, that doesn't mean those actions are right and wrong. It simply means they help your offspring survive or not survive. There's no moral component to that. In terms of sociology, a flourishing society doesn't necessarily have a moral component. There's nothing to say that a flourishing society is morally good and a society that is suffering is morally bad. In terms of empathy, the assumption is that what makes people happy and what improves their well-being is morally good, and what doesn't do that, what makes them unhappy and what makes them suffer, is morally bad. There is an assumption made in all of these arguments that human survival and well-being are a moral good. And that is taken as an axiomatic truth by pretty much everybody today in Western society, whether they're skeptic or whether they're a believer. That what promotes human survival and what promotes human well-being is morally good, and you should do it. And what hinders human survival and human well-being is morally bad, and you shouldn't do it. But in the absence of God, why should that be true? If there is no God to say, I have chosen the human race to be in my image, and I have endued the human race with certain moral significance, why are we special? Why should it be us? Why shouldn't our morality be based on what is good for, I don't know, sharks, or wildebeest, or bacteria that we kill all the time when we wash our hands? Why should we be the ground for morality? Is it because we're the most advanced species? Is it because we're the only species that has a moral component to our minds, to our understanding? Well, you only have to watch the films that come out of Hollywood when a more advanced species than us invades this planet and starts destroying us to see, in those situations, we still see ourselves as the good guys. Morality still centers around us. If a more advanced species comes from another planet and starts doing to human beings what we do to other animals, so if they start killing us to make room for themselves, or if they start experimenting on us the way we do with rats and so on, or if they start farming us the way we do with cows and other animals, they're the bad guys for doing that to us. We are still the center of morality, even if this other species that comes along is more advanced, more intelligent. So I don't see any reason in the absence of God why the human race should be any more special or any more significant than any other species. It's speciesism. It's racism on a species level. And if I went around saying we should do what benefits people of my race instead of all the other races, or if I went around saying we should do what benefits the males, not females, then you'd call me a racist and you'd call me a sexist and you'd be quite right to do so. But if I go around saying we should do what benefits the human race instead of all the other species on the planet, apparently that's okay, apparently that's correct. Human beings seem to have an instinctive belief that there are objective moral values. People might argue that our moral values are subjective and they come from our own experience, but we all seem to have an instinctive understanding that they are, in fact, objective, and there is something that gives us the set of values that applies to everyone. Paul argues in Romans that whenever the Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things required by the law, these who do not have the law are a law to themselves. They show that the work of the law is written in their hearts, as their conscience bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or else defend them, on the day when God will judge the secrets of human hearts according to my gospel through Christ Jesus. So the Bible seems to imply that this is the case as well, that even people who haven't heard specific instructions from God have an instinctive belief that there is some set of moral beliefs that we should all have, regardless of who we are and when we are. Nobody lives as if subjective moral values exist. Everybody lives as if they are objective. Everybody lives as if there is a set of standards that applies to everyone. For example, at the Nuremberg trials after World War II, when the surviving Nazi leaders were captured and put on trial, some of the lower ranking Nazi officials and soldiers would say, "Yes, I did that, but I was only following orders." Now, people didn't say, "Oh, well, that's all right then. You were just doing what your culture said was correct. That's okay, we'll let you off." No, they said, "That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your superiors in the Nazi society said to you, because there is a higher authority than the Nazi government that you should have obeyed, and you should have disobeyed those orders and protected the Jews, for instance." Nobody ever accepted that in Nazi society, yes, it's okay to have concentration camps and do all this stuff because morality is subjective. That's a different culture. They have their set of values and we have ours. Everybody said that was wrong. It doesn't matter if they as a society thought it was right, it was wrong, they shouldn't have done it, and we're going to put them on trial. So when it really comes down to it, nobody lives as if morality is subjective. Everybody lives as if morality is objective. What's ironic is that you'll get atheists who will demonstrate this when they say that God in the Old Testament did bad things. God, who's not part of any human society, was giving instructions to a human society that is very different from ours. He was saying, you must go into Canaan and you must wipe out these people and you must do this. And people will say, well, that was wrong. Even though it's a different culture, even though it's a different society, they say that is wrong and they should not have done that. And by saying that, they know that there is an objective standard. So they say that there isn't, but they live as if there is. All of these ways in which morality can be subjective, whether we learn it through evolution, whether we learn it through sociology, whether we learn it through empathy, none of these tell us what we ought to do. They will simply tell us what will happen if we do something. So if you do this, then some people will survive and be happy. If you do that, then some people will suffer and be unhappy. that there's nothing in evolution, sociology, empathy, or any of these other subjective sources of knowledge to tell you that you ought to do this rather than this. But everybody lives as if there is something that tells you the way you ought to live. Everybody lives their life as if there is a moral component to human understanding. Now, I'm not arguing that people who don't believe in God are bad people. I'm not suggesting that atheists just live for pleasure, that they're hedonists, that they don't care about anyone, that they're just selfish and horrible all the time. The entire point of my argument is atheists don't do that. Most atheists are just normal people. They're mostly decent, honest, hard-working. They do care for their families. They do show compassion to strangers. My entire point is that they live their lives as if there is an objective standard that they try their best to live to. Some of them do a very good job of it, of following this objective standard. Sometimes they do better at it than we do, to our shame. But what they don't realize, or what they won't accept, is that by living by that standard implies that God exists. If someone says that they're an atheist, but they live as if there is objective morality, then they're living inconsistently with their atheism. They say God doesn't exist, but they live as if he does. So can we be good without God? If there is no God, then ultimately the word good doesn't have any meaning in an objective sense. Nobody has the authority to say what good is. You know, the strongest person in the room might dominate everybody else and say, well, what I say is what is good. Most people in Western society have an almost instinctive sense of what good is, because Western society and its values largely originate from Christian traditions that governed Western thought for maybe 1,500 years or so. So somebody who claims to be an atheist and lives in the Western world has probably picked up their values from Christianity originally, whether they realize it or not. Anybody who is a skeptic or an atheist who claims to be a good person, who passes judgment on what somebody else does and says that is wrong, then they are living inconsistently with their worldview, as I've said. They say God doesn't exist, but they live as if he does. And they really ought to become believers so that they can be consistent with what they say. But these are the moral values that Christians are encouraged to pursue. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If everybody tried a little harder to practice these moral values, then our world would be in a much better state than it is. Simply the fact that we believe in God doesn't automatically mean that we will practice these things. We have to make an effort to practice these things. We have to show to others what it means to be a Christian. And we have to encourage people who believe in these, although they don't believe in God, where these things come from and why it would make more sense for them to understand that. Thank you.